Christ. If you're joining us live stream, we appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time to be with us, both virtually and in presence. A couple announcements. If you notice at the end of your pew aisle that there are some cards, that is for the questions we want to address here. So if you have a question, it can be anything. And if you don't have a question, I think you should probably try to find a question. All of us are going to have things that we want to know when it comes to God or Christianity or life. So I encourage you, any question you have, we're going to compile these and put them in categories. We will try to answer. We want this one big question that if it's holding someone back from moving forward or progressing as a Christian, we want to try and address it from a biblical standpoint. So make sure that you do that, even if you feel as though it may not help or you're not struggling with anything in general. Just ask a question. It can pertain to anything, and we want to test this and see how we do at our congregation. Then if it's successful, we want to take it forth into the community, and we want the community to know that their questions matter to us. So a couple things that will come out of that if you engage in this and participate. Number one, you get to see what is on the hearts and minds of people around you in your congregation. You get to know what our congregation struggles with. What's the one question we want to know as a collective whole? That's the one benefit. And number two, we get the answer for that question. So if you would, just take the time to fill out a question. All right, in our church series, our lesson this morning, we've given a lot of instruction. We've given some application, but we really want to move into action with this morning's lesson. We want to morph from an unhealthy belief into a healthy understanding of what it means to be a Christian. Our church series purpose is so that we can convey and know what New Testament Christianity is. So if someone asks us who we are, what we believe, we can tell them exactly what the Bible says. We can convey that information to them, and we can tell them who we are, what we believe, what makes us distinct and unique and stand out as the Church of Christ. You can have all the information needed to following Jesus, which we've covered so far. You can have all the information, you can have all the details, you can have all the sermons, all the Bible classes, and still not reproduce the life of Christ. We want to move from instruction into action with this morning's lesson. A copy of an original New Testament Christian means that you have adopted agape. What is agape? Agape is a sacrificed love. It means you've given something up. You've offered something over. It's a life completely offered over to God as a sweet-smelling aroma. We've been really pushing Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, that we imitate God. We imitate the love that Christ had by offering himself up as a sacrifice to God. That's the example we want to implement. That's the example we want to follow. And if we do that, then we won't be cherry-picking Bible verses, but we'll be willing to follow all that he has commanded. And when you take all of God's commands, it culminates or it peaks in just two of them. A love for God and a love for others. That's agape love. Let's adopt that belief. Let's adopt that behavior in our life. What does this look like? You give up self. The text that was so capably read for us by Tim in Luke chapter 9, look at verse 23 once again, and we're going to try to bring this lesson full circle surrounding these verses. Look what Jesus says in verse 23. Then he said to all of them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You have to give up who you are. You have to leave the past behind. That's why the scriptures tell us we're a new creation, we're a new person. We have to be made new in order for God to save us. So we have to give up all of self. The design of this lesson is to ask you, are there things that you're holding on to? Are there things that you've been unwilling to let go of or to give up? If you love God, it means that you love him more than your life. So you offer up all who you are to follow him. A love for others is observed when you consider others better than yourself by putting their needs above your own. So to achieve a love like this, we have to be willing to give up our will and adopt God's will, which is agape love, in self-denial, self-sacrifice. That's when we know we are following Jesus. And when we give up our will for God's will, we can know that he always has the best of intentions for the larger whole. God always included in his will, it's always for the greater good. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Look what Paul says about the mind of Christ in verses 5 through 8. And these are not new verses. We are all very familiar with this text. And think about Jesus giving up all of self, which we're going to touch on as we move through this lesson. He gave it all up, complete self-denial. And Paul says, let this kind of attitude, this mindset, be in you which was in Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, in verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. In putting the two texts together, Luke 9:23 and Philippians 2:5-8, what God says to us is, if you're willing to follow me, if you're willing to adopt an agape love, when you come to Jesus, you must die. Give up self. Give up life. And adopt a new one. Take on a whole new life. This mind was in Christ Jesus. Let it be in you too. Jesus was in heaven. He had everything. And he left that. Came down and suffered and died for us. On a much smaller scale, what would this look like for you? Take your life now, just in general, or your average Mount Juliet residence life, and they have a nice home. They live in a good location. They have a wonderful life, a good job, a great family. And then someone comes up to you and says, I want you to go downtown, live under a bridge, find someone to come who lives under that bridge. You exchange your life for theirs. You live under the bridge and you take them, and they get to live in your home and live out your life. In a nutshell, that's exactly what Christ did for us. Christ went downtown, lived under a bridge, and said, here's the keys to my home. I want you to go and live in my kingdom. I want you to live out my life. I'm going to do that for you in exchange. I'm going to trade off our lives. And then God says, if you want to follow the pattern of Jesus, the model of Christ, that's what you must do. Are you willing to do that? Let's get very practical. We're going to have to give up some precious commodities, right? And this is, even me saying this, I'm in the back of my mind going, this one's tough. We all have busy schedules, right? No, who's an expert at this? Nobody. But what he says is, if you can start by giving up self, then you can transition that when it comes to those opportunities in time that you have to give up your schedule, you have to give up your busy life. You have to give up your events. You have to trade in something for the greater of the good or the whole, for the better part of the congregation. Man, if you've given up self, this gets easier and easier as you move along. This becomes easier for us. A love for God and a love for other is going to demand our time. It's going to demand our time. We must be willing to give up some of our spare time, look for opportunities, look for ways that we can build up and we can encourage the body of Christ. I believe we're in a time, and I could be wrong, I'm no prophet, but I believe we're in a time that I think you would agree with me, we're rounding the corner on COVID, right? Hopefully. Let's keep praying about that. Just stop watching the news. And we're rounding the corner on COVID, and I think we're coming out of it. And hopefully, I mean, this is spring. Hopefully the warmer weather will help us really turn this corner. And within our congregation, and I encourage our leaders and all of us to start doing this, we need to look for ways that we can bring people opportunities to come together. We look for those opportunities. And when we have those openings, I encourage you today, be planning ahead now to make the most of those opportunities when they're presented. Let's do this. It's going to take us giving up some of our time, that valuable, precious time that we love so much. We're going to have to give some of that up for the greater good of the whole, for the family. Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another today while you have today. While it is called today, make the most of your opportunity and encourage people and build up the body of Christ. Build up the church of Christ. And in the future, moving forward, as we continue, look for more ways to do this. And this will take you giving up some of your time. Become available. And again, I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying this is going to be fun. It's going to be a challenge. But if we adopt agape, if we truly love God and we truly love others, it will be seen, it will be evident by you giving up your time. That's how you can know I've adopted agape love. I'm living the life like Christ. I'm willing to sacrifice and offer up and give up my precious time for others. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. How often do you see Jesus interacting with people where others stand around saying, well, we got time for them. We got time for that. We got time for those people. Let's move on. And Jesus is like, I'm giving up my time to come and help others. And this confirms what I believe, that I love my Father. This is our purpose. This is our reason. And when we do this, and we all adopt this behavior, man, the church will just explode. I mean, people in this community won't be able to take their eyes away from the light that's shining forth in our congregation. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that what we want to take on? Man, I want that for us. But I want us all to be engaged in this effort. It's going to take us giving up our stuff. Man, we own a lot of stuff, right? We've accumulated a lot of stuff. We have money. We have cars. We have cell phones. We have iPads. We have all this stuff that we've accumulated. And if we're not careful with our stuff will end up owning us. So we must be careful with it. The Bible also teaches us, back to Philippians 2:5-8, that Jesus left all. He left it all for who? Us. He left all of his riches, all of his valuables. Think about some of the things Jesus might have had in heaven. And he says, I'm going to give it up. I'm going to give up my stuff. And I want to bless others. So he's teaching us the proper way to live with our blessings is to keep these things with an open palm. Don't let your stuff own you, but keep it with an open palm. And so when opportunity presents itself, you may have to get rid of some of your stuff and bless someone else. Don't let the things or your belongings own you. Show that Christ owns you. Show others that Jesus is the one who came and died for you and made you spiritually rich. This stuff that we own, these things, they're not more valuable or important than the kingdom of God. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. I want you to see this for yourself. Luke 12. So if you love God, if you truly value his kingdom, it will be seen in how you handle your stuff. Are you willing to give it up? Look at Luke 12, verses 29 through 34. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure, look what he does, to give you the kingdom. You're rich. You have all that you needed. You have far more than what you need. We're spiritually blessed. Jesus did this for us. He's given us the kingdom. What else or what more do you want? Look what we do with our stuff. Verse 33. Sell what you have. Give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you want to confirm and display to others that you value the church, the kingdom, more than your things, keep it with an open palm. Be willing to give up your stuff. Now, this may mean we're going to have to come up with an extra budget to give more, to do more. We're going to have to cut back on those extra meals. We're going to have to trade in our Fruit Loops for the Fruit Rounds, the off-brand cereal. But we need to be willing to make these sacrifices. Giving up our stuff is going to tell the world Christ owns us, not our belongings. Give up your earthly sanctuary. What is an earthly sanctuary? We sing the song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." Well, my question is, are we living like it? Are we living like heaven is truly our home? Or do we just sing the song without any true belief behind it? Are they just words? Or do you when sing that, or when you sing that, do you truly believe what you're saying? You know, when you look at the design of homes, and I don't know when this started. I can't tell you when they started constructing them this way. But you've heard me mention this before. I am surprised that new homes today aren't built with a fireplace. I don't know if you've noticed that or if you've seen it in certain communities. They don't have fireplaces. And then also, sometimes the living room is not in the front of the house. And then also, most houses today are not designed with a front porch. Growing up as a kid, man, the front porch was the spot. That's where you went to watch the neighbors and see people drive by, get home from work. I mean, when I went to my grandparents, that's all we did. We just sat on the front porch and waved to people walking by and driving by. You got to talk to people. They stop and talk to you. They come up on the porch. When we go to our friend's house, some of our friends had large front porches, and we just played up there the whole time. It was a spot designed to keep company, to have people over. So when people used to make homes, they used to make homes with the intent that you're going to have guest. You're going to be hospitable. You're going to have people over. Now you think about the newer homes. They don't have that kind of function. They function more like keep out, stay away, no trespassing. That is not adopting agape love. when we tell people to stay away. We need to open our doors, open our homes. We must share our lives, share our earthly sanctuary, give it over, because we belong to someone else. And we genuinely believe in the song that we sing, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm just a pilgrim." This does not make up all of me. My earthly home is not who I am. I'm genuinely grateful to God that He has been so hospitable with us. John 14, 1 and 2, "Let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to make you a spot in my Father's house." God's design for the church, for His kingdom, has always been to have guests, to have company. He's done that with us. Shouldn't we in turn do that with others? If you love God and you say that you love others, it will be seen by you giving up your earthly sanctuary, opening up your doors, opening up your life. Because we seek a city to come. Again, this world's not our home, and we completely understand where we're going. The last one has reference to the first one. It's just coming full circle. And what I want to encourage you to do with these last two points, but this last one in particular, is be willing to give it all up. And when I say be willing to give it all up, this means you're willing to help the church grow. You're willing to give up all of yourself for the greater good of the community here. You look for ways to build up the body, not tear it down. And this will take a careful consideration on our part. Let's just say that you go, "You know what? I make time for people. You know what? I'm willing to give up my stuff and I share my things. You know what? I open my home to people." But then when they come in and they have a conversation with you, you don't even listen to them. Or you use words and you have speech that is rather harmful, or it's speech that is more contemptible than it is graceful. When you read the scriptures, it encourages us to think before we speak, think before we act, consider our words and our language. Is it building up people or is it tearing people down? Give up all of yourself. Open your ears, listen to people, have conversations with them. Consider the things that you do say to them. Are they immersed in God's grace? Are they imparting grace to those who hear you? Giving up all of self and having language and speech that is pure and delightful and godly means that you've adopted agape. That's what Christ did for us. Imagine if every time you prayed or wanted to talk to God, He interrupted you, or He brought up something that was out of context and brought up something different. You would feel like, "He's not listening to me." But you know God doesn't do that with us. God wants to know what we think. He wants to know what's on our hearts and minds. When we interact with one another and we truly give up all of self, we'll be willing to listen. We'll be looking for opportunities and ways to build up someone else, to encourage them. And at this point in the lesson, you might be asking, why? Why would I want to give up my time? Why would I want to give up my stuff? Why would I be willing to go to these great lengths of sacrifice? For what reason? What purpose? And you know, quite often we'll say something like this: "Well, one day it's really going to be worth it," right? We say, when we get to heaven, when we finally make it to the promised land, when we make it to Canaan's land, man, we'll be rewarded greatly. Well, you know what? That's not exactly what the scriptures teach. That is absolutely true. But what the Bible actually teaches is if you are willing to give up things here and now, you'll be blessed. Look at Mark chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. Mark 10, 29 through 31. Notice what Jesus says. So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold," look what he says, "now in this time." So when we ask, will it be worth giving up my time, my residence, my stuff, all of my life now? The answer is an explicit from this verse. Yes. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Jesus says a hundredfold, it is a hundred times better way to live now. Adopt agape. Think about this sales pitch for a moment. If we want to keep some form of a business model design of the church, this is one I encourage you to embrace. Giving your life over to God, becoming more like Jesus, loving others the way Christ did, is 100 times better than not adopting agape. You live 100 times better than your average person in America. In our closing verse, turn to Luke 9. Tim read verse 23 through 25. I know we've looked at verse 23. Look what he says in verses 24 and 25 now. "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." And then Jesus poses this question. "What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" So in other words, let's put it this way. In the context of our lesson this morning, what profit is it to you if you gain the whole world but you lose your Christianity? What profit is it? You know what the answer is? None. None. There's nothing worth more than your Christian life. And following Jesus, there's nothing more valuable than his church. Adopting agape is worth it. This morning, are you a Christian who can honestly say you've given it all up for him? You've handed your life entirely over to Jesus for something much, much better. If you're not a Christian, what are you waiting for? And again, these questions, if you have a question that's lingering, write it down and we'll try to address it. But while you have today, I want to encourage you, make the best decision you could ever make. Live 100 times better now by becoming a Christian, being forgiven of all your sins. If you're a Christian who is held on to life with a tight grip, Paul encourages us, let go of that and hold tightly onto eternity, onto your salvation. Repent of your sins if you are a Christian who's left the Christian life. You have this great opportunity to make the most of this time and be rewarded tremendously by returning or becoming a Christian. Please take advantage of this opportunity as we stand and we sing.